Today's daf is daf Tzadi Aleph from the last daf of the fifth parak of Mochas Asvina. So the Gemara says on the top line, Tanir Rabbanan ain't misdakrin in Eretz Yisrael. A person should not make money in Eretz Yisrael. B'dvarim sheyesh bem l'chai nefesh, something that people really need to live. Basic food, such as what? Kigon yenus, shemadim v'salto, such as wine and oil and flour. These things are basic necessities. And if a person makes too much money, they monopolize the market, so it's going to be difficult for people to live and afford it. So Amra Allah al Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, they said about Rabbi Elazar, Shehaya mistakir b'yayin v'shemen, he would actually make money, a tremendous profit off of these two things. So how could he go against this? He's a Tana, he could go against it, but he argued on this Tana Kama. What was his reasoning? So the Gemara explains that when it comes to yain, when it comes to the world of wine, so savar la k'Rabbi Yehuda. He passed like Rabbi Yehuda. We saw Rabbi Yehuda's shita yesterday. Yehuda said halavai, said the wine become expensive because they understood, of course, the challenges of alcoholism. It existed back then, and they didn't want any alcoholics. So they said better to raise the price of wine to discourage people from buying it too much. So that's why you can make a large profit on wine. And with respect to shemen, he's able to make a profit off of shemen. Ba'asre, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Shchiach Mishchei. Where Rabbi Elazar lived, it was very easy to find oil. It was very common. And therefore, people wouldn't, if they can't buy from Elazar ben Azariah, they could find from some other seller. So that's why he was permitted to make some level of profit on these items. Gemara now quotes a brisa, Tanur Rabbanan ein mistakrin b'hapamim pamayim bebeitzim. You can't make a profit two times with regards to eggs. So unclear what this means. So the Gemara says there's two explanations what it means, ein mistakrin pamayim bebeitzim. First opinion is, Amar Meri, Bar Meri, pligi ba Rav Shmuel. There's machlokas Rav Shmuel, how to interpret this brisa. Chad Amar 1 says, al chad trei, you cannot make the price of eggs double the cost. You can't double it. And Chadamar, Tagar la Tagar, no, you can't sell it twice. The wholesaler has to sell directly to the consumer. You can't sell it to a middleman, to the retailer, because you're going to be, obviously everyone wants to make a profit here, so now they're paying double profit. So when it comes to eggs, you can only do it directly from the wholesaler, seller to the consumer. Rashbam explains some of the reasoning here. Look at Rashbam around six narrow lines down, Bebeitzim, he says, nearly, Mishum Bebeitzim ein mem chai nefesh kokach. Eggs are not so much of a necessity. But v'gam terech meruba, it's very hard to tend to the chickens, and it requires a lot of tircha, apparently. The revach mua, too, and it's only a little bit of a profit person makes off of this anyways. Lani machazi bayarvas liknos beitzim. L'chein etir l'estaka yosem ishtus. So you can make more than a shtus, but you can't, there's a limit. There's a threshold, you can't charge double. That was the basis for this. Okay. So then the Gemara says, the first wide line down, Tanur Rabbanan, Masrin Apragmatia. So there's important Hagos Bach here, who adds in, Pragmatia Shehuzla. If produce or any merchandise became very, very cheap, so you could be Masrin Afilu B'Shabbos. What does Masrin mean? So Rashbam says Masrin means Tvila, Tadavin. There's a discussion, the Mishnah and Tainus talks about this. Some say you could blow chatzotzot, so perhaps shofar. Others say it only means davening. So the Rashbam's pshat here is that your person's allowed to daven when their merchandise becomes very cheap and worthless. And even on Shabbos, where we normally don't daven for things like this, parnasa and bracha, you are allowed to daven. This is such a serious thing. Now, there is a machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam holds that this is actually a mitzvah sa'ase deraisa to daven on such a tzara like this. You could daven. It's a mitzvah sa'ase deraisa. Other Rishonim don't count this as a mitzvah sa'ase. Others say it's simply a mitzvah midirabanan, like the Baal Mora says. So that's a whole discussion.
So the Rambam has a
pasuk. So they quote the Rambam says that the pasuk is al hatzar hatzorer eschem, the tzar, the bad that happens to you. You're supposed to blow chatzotzot, the pasuk says, when something bad happens. So the Rambam firstly says it's not tefillah, it's blowing trumpets. And number two is any bad tzara, you could daven and blow trumpets on Shabbos. That's what he says. The Smag, Sefer Mitzvah Gadol, does not quote this as a mitzvah. And the Baal Mor explains because it's only a mitzvah midirabanan. So the Gemara now says, Amar B'Yochanan, Kigon, what's an example? Kigon kli pishan bebavel, this fancy clothing in Bavel, it became very cheap. The yayin v'shem in Eretz Yisrael, and wine and oil in Eretz Yisrael. These are examples of things that they became very cheap. So then you can, when no one's making a profit off of it, you can daven or blow chatzotzot on Shabbos. Amar of Yosef, v'hu dezal v'kam asar b'shisa. What's the what's considered cheap? That's worthy of such a davening when it becomes so cheap, where you could get 2 of 10 for 6, which is a great buy for the consumer. But the one selling the product, the mocher, is not making much of a money. He's giving so much away for such a little price. So therefore, it requires a masri and afilu b'shabbos. Tanur Rabban in the Brisa says, Ein yotin meretz me'aretz l'chutz l'aretz. A person may not leave Eretz Yisrael to go outside Eretz Yisrael. Ela imkein unless amdu sasayim b'sela. Unless the produce has become so cheap where you could get two sasayim for only one sela. So again, it's great for the buyers, but it's terrible for the sellers. So that's a reason that you're allowed to leave to chutz l'aretz to make some level, some living there. So the Gemara said, what's the reason why you can't leave? So Rashbam says, you can't leave because Ein Yotzin, it's around halfway down the narrow lines in Rashbam, Shemafkia Atmo Min HaMitzvahs, because by you leaving, you are now removing any obligation of mitzvahs. And either means Ramban al-Torah writes, there are no mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz. We do mitzvahs b'Chutz La'aretz simply to practice to when we get to Eretz Yisrael. Others say, no, of course the mitzvahs there is in Chutz La'aretz, but you're losing out mitzvahs hatzlius ba'aretz. You can't do mais, trumas, maisus, and so on and so forth. Leket, shecha, peya. You're losing out on those mitzvahs. Now the Rambam actually doesn't count this as one of the mitzvahs. He doesn't say that there's an iser to leave Eretz Yisrael. Others do. Rambam doesn't count there as an iser to leave Eretz Yisrael. So they quote a Chuvas Rashbash, who says because the Rambam thinks there is no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael midderaisa. It's only a mitzvah dirabanan. So there's no mitzvah aseh to live there, and there's no iser aseh to leave either. But the Tashbeit says no. Of course the Rambam thinks there's a mitzvah deraisa to live in Eretz Yisrael. So why doesn't he count it as a mitzvah? Because it's included under each of the mitzvahs itself. Meaning the mitzvah of Truma has a prerequisite of living there in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Maisa means you have to live there. So it doesn't have its own mitzvah. Living there itself isn't a mitzvah. It's living there in order to perform the mitzvah. So it's connected to each of the different mitzvahs. The Meiri says the reason why there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is because it's filled with Talmidei Chachamim and Rabbanim to learn with. It's about the Torah that's there. Others say it's because the Kedusha that's there, and yet others say it's because the mitzvahs that are there. The Avnei Nezer says all three are relevant points as to why there's a mitzvah to live there and why there's an iser to leave Eretz Yisrael. Fine. The Gemara now says, Amar Bishimon, Emasai, when is this true? Bizman Shein Motzelek Likach. When are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? When you can't find any buyers, and even though it's very cheap, so then you could go to Chutz La'aretz to sell it to whoever you could find. Aval bisman, but in the time shemoti likach, afilu amda sa b'sala lo yatsa. But if you could find a buyer, even though it's really cheap, still you're not allowed to leave. V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai omer elimelech machlon v'kilyon. From the story of Rus, coming up soon, we'll be reading this in a few weeks. Gedolei hador hayu, they were the great leaders of the generation. Uparnasei hador, they were the ones who were leading them. Umipnei ma nanshuar, were these three individuals punished? Bipnei sheyatsu me'aretz L'chutzlars, because they left Eretz Yisrael, that's why they were punished. And the proof for this is Shinemar. Some have the Girsa, others don't have the Girsa Shinemar. But one of the proofs is Vatehom Kolair Alem, the nation, the city rather, gathered around them. Vatamar Nahazos Nami, is this Nami? So what do they mean Mahazos Nami? What were they asking? So Amr Reb Yitzchak, he explained, Amru Chazisim Nami, she yatzes merit l'chutzlars ma'alsala. Look what happened to Nami. She lost her whole family. What was the reason she lost her family? It's because they went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. This was the reason they were punished. Now the Marsha, the Mefarshim ask, it's actually Chidushei HaGaonim, they quote, who's found on the Ein Yaakov. He asks, why do we refer to these individuals of Elimelech, Machlon, and Kilyon as both the Gedolei Hador and also the Parnasei Hador? Why are you giving them such titles? So he explains that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that a person could only get, it seems to indicate that that had they been ketanim, had they been regular people, they would have been punished. Only because they're great leaders, there's a chiddush that even though they're great leaders, they're still punished. There shouldn't be a difference. No matter how great you are, if you violate an iser of leaving Eretz Yisrael, no matter how great or how little you are, you're going to get the same punishment. We don't show favors to anybody. So why is the Gemara emphasizing that even though they're gedolei hador, they were still punished? So it explains that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that people only get to a certain position of Gedula unless they were first Nimchal. They had all their Avonos forgiven. So this is just telling us that they were great Tzaddikim. Now even though they're great Tzaddikim, the question becomes, so if they're such great Tzaddikim, so what do they actually do wrong? What do they do to deserve a punishment To which the Gemara answered, well, even though they're tzaddikim, since they left Eretz Yisrael, they are punished with this. Gemara now quotes another statement of Rabbi Yitzchak on the story of Rus. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Oso Hayom, that day Shabasa Rus, Hamavia, the day that Rus came, Eretz Yisrael, that she entered into Eretz Yisrael, Meisa Isha Shaboaz. Boaz's wife died. V'hainu Dami Incha, that's what people would say, Adilo Shachav Shichva, before the dead dies, Kaima Mana Baisa, someone will be in the house ready. There's always going to have the refuah, it's Kodim Lamaka. So Rus was there, present, she was the medicine, if you will, for Boaz, so she existed in Eretz Yisrael before Boaz's wife died. Gemara says, Amar Rabba by Rav Huna. Halfway down the page here, Amar Rav Ivtson Zeboz. Who's Ivtson? None of us know who Ivtson is, myself included. But Rashbam tells us that Ivtson, if you know in Tanakh, he's min ha-shoftim who? B'sefer shoftim. You could find him in shoftim. So what's the relevance of Ivtson Zeboz? My kamashblan, who cares that he has two different names? What's the chiddush here? So because ki idach the Rabba bar Rav Huna, there's another statement Rabba bar Rav Huna himself says, we could connect it to two statements. Dama Rabba bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Mea v'esim mishtos asa Boaz lebanav. He made a total of 120 parties for his children. This is what Boaz did. How do we know this? Shenemar, the pasuk tells us, the pasuk that appears in Shoftim, it says, this is describing what Ivtson did. Vayhi lo shloshim banim, he had 30 sons. V'shloshim banos shilach hachutzen, 30 daughters he sent out to go marry off to someone else. V'shloshim banos hevi levanav, he brought 30 girls into the Eretz Yisrael to marry his 30 sons. Minachutz v'yishpot es Yisrael sheva shanim, and he had judged the nation for 7 years. So he had a total of 60 marriages he made. U'b'chol achas v'achas asa shnei mishtos, and each marriage he made two parties, 60 times 2. Echad beveis aviv, one in the house of his father, ve'echad beveis chamav, one in the house of the father-in-law. And Rashbam explains here why two sudos. Rashbam three wide lines down says lechol echad shnei sudos. Sudas erusin shi mitzvah, the first suda of the engagement, which is putting the ring on the finger. That's the erusin, and then the sudas nisun of the marriage under the chuppah. So each one had two parties. 2 times 60, there was a total of 120 parties he made. Says the Gemara further now, all 120, lo zimen es Manoach, he did not invite Manoach, who was a contemporary of his. Why? Because Amar kudna akra b'may parli, his wife's akara, she's not able to have children, they had no children. How is he ever going to pay me back by inviting me to his wedding? He's not going to ever make a wedding, so why waste my money on him if he won't pay me back? So, Tana, v'chulan mesu b'chayev, all his children had died in his lifetime. All 60 children of his died in his life. So the Gemara says, "V'hainu dami inchi." That's what people would say. "V'chayecha di'aldas shusin shusin lamlocha." To have 60 children born to you in your lifetime, lamlocha. What's the need for it if they're all going to die? Ichbal v'olid echad d'mishusin zariz. It's better to have one strong zariz, one strong child who's the strength of 60 people. So Rashbam explains here that Rashbam says, "Olid echad d'mishishin zariz." Who's the one child who is a zariz that he ended up having? Hainu Oved sheholid Boaz. Oved who eventually came from Rus, but yatzmi menu David melech Yisrael. So that's why we're connecting the story of Ivtson, who lost 60 children, had one great child, which. Who is that? We know by connecting him to Boaz, it ended up being Oved, who ended up being the great-great-grandfather of David HaMelech. Others say, and Rashbam doesn't like this pshat, but others say, Ika de Pasulei, others explain it, de b'shimshon de zariz mishishin de Ivtson. So it's referring to Shimshon, but he doesn't like this. Fine. Gemara now says, quotes a nemanakir simon melech avram eser shanim shiniftar nisnase levado. So going to go through a number of statements in the name of Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava. Amar Rav. Elimelech v'shalmon uploni almoni. And Avi Naami. Kulan b'nei nachshon b'nei aminadav hem. So Rashbam explains who these different individuals are, the relationships with each other. But they're all part of the family of Elimelech and Naami. And they all came from the lineage of Nachshon b'nei aminadav. So my kamashma, what's the chedish here? What are we learning from here? Shafilu mishiyesh lo zuchos avos, such as Nachshon, even if you have great zuchos avos, it doesn't help you. Eino omedes lo b'shashiyotzim eretz l'chutz l'aretz. That's how bad it is leaving Eretz Yisrael. Even if great zuchos avos, it's meaningless if you leave Eretz Yisrael. Another statement. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Rav. Imya de Avram, Amasya Bas Carnival. Who was the mother of Avram? What was her name? Remember, every year the kids always have a question they bring home from school. Who was the mother of Avram? It's not found anywhere in Rashi, nowhere. You have to know the Gemara Babasa Daf Tzadi Aleph. There's the only place, I think, that mentions who his mother is. So again, his mother is Amsalya Bas Carnival. Ima de Haman, who is Haman's mother? Amasya Bas Urvasi. Same name, but what's the difference of Carnival versus Urvasi? So Rashbam explains here that Carnival is Karim Mitzon, blankets or pillows that come from wool. Tohor him, it's a kosher animal, because Avram was Tahor. As opposed to an Orev, that Haman's mother was Bas Orev, which is a bird that's Tameh, of course, and because Haman was Tameh. Then the Gemara says, V'simanach, the mnemonic to remember, is Tameh Tameh Tahor Tahor, right? The Orev is going to be coupled with Haman, and the Bas Karnava is going to be coupled with Avram. So then the Gemara says, Eima de David, Nitzvas Bas Adael, Shema, that was the name of David's mother, and Amya de Shimshon, Tzlafonis Vachte Nishin, that was her name. So the one asking, who really cares about all the names of their mothers? So the Gemara says, L'tshuvas HaMinim. To be able to respond to the Minim, what's the response to Minim? What's this conversation you'd have to tell them? So it's unclear exactly what it means, but it seems from the Rashbam that since the Minim only learned Torah Shebichsav, and we'd ask them, oh, so who's the mother of Avram? They wouldn't know, because of course you won't know, because you don't have such a thing as Torah Shabbat Peh. We have a Mesorah, and we even know the names of Avram's mother, and Haman's mother, and David's mother, all these, because we have a Torah Shabbat Peh. And they could always claim back as, you know, we made those names up. But this is part of the idea that the Rashbam says, is to show that we have a Mesorah of Torah Shabbat Peh. Gemara says the last five lines of the Amud here, Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav Esoshanim Nichbash Avram Avinu. Avram was held in jail for 10 years. Shalosh Bekusa V'sheva Bekidro. Some say 3 years in one place called Kusa and 7 years in Kadro, another place. Rav Dimi Minarda Masi Ipchei thought the opposite. It was 7 years in Kusa and 3 years in Kadro. So Amar Rav Chista Ibra Zira de Kusa, the name of a city. Zehu Or Kazdim. The Or Kazdim were famously Avram was thrown in the fire unscathed, so that's the place it's called nowadays, Ivrei Zira de Kusa. Who cares? So look at the last line of the Rashbam here. He says, I'm reading in the middle of the Rashbam, it says, V'haroe, person who sees such a location, Tarech Levarech Baruch She'asa Nisim La'avoseinu B'mokum Azeh. It's the Mishnah in Brachos, the last paragraph of Brachos, when you see a place where either Klal Yisrael or a certain individual that held up Klal Yisrael, such as Avram, Yitzchak Yaakov, or Moshe and Aaron, if you saw that location where the Nes happened, where Kriyas Yamsuf took place, that very makom, there's a bracha you have to say of She'asa Nisim La'avoseinu B'mokum Azeh. It's actually learned from Yisro. When Yisro came and he saw Moshe and all the different, he heard about all the Nisim, it says, Asher Tzil Mizeh. So we learn from there, according to the Medrash, that you're supposed to say a bracha when you see the person who experienced the Nes, or you see the place where the Nes took place. Gemar now says, last three lines, Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rava, Amar Rav, Osa Yom, that day, Sheniftar Avram Avinu, Min Olam, the day that Avram died, Omdu kol ha'gdoli ha'omos ha'olam b'shura. They all stood in a line, the great leaders of the world. V'amru, and they said, Oy li li olam sh'avad manhigo, woe to us, the world, that we lost our great leader. Manhigo v'oy lo la l'sfina sh'avad karvinta. And woe to the boat that we lost our captain. So the Marsha wants to know, what's the need for these two statements of a leader, manhigo olam, versus the captain of the ship? So Marsha says that there are two great things about Avram. One is that he showed the world how HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed. That's what it means, manhigo, the leader of the world. He shows that manhigo of the world, but he also shows how to act properly, be midos and the derech yashar, and that's how a boat walks, not walks, it travels, it sails in a very straight path. That's what it means, the leader, how to the captain of a ship. Gemara now quotes another statement based on the pasuk about Misnase Lecharosh, the one who appoints everyone to be head at each position. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav Afilu Resh Gargusa Mishmaya Mok Mila. Even a Resh Gargusa, which Rashbam explains, a person who's in charge of the wells, which is not such a chashu position, but still a position of leadership. Even that leadership role, Mishmaya Mokmila, he points everything. Hamisnase Lechol Rosh, every single Rosh, every single leader is appointed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Chiya, Gemara says, Bar Avin, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, Chas V'Shalom, Shafilu Matzu Suvan Lo Yatsu. So Chas V'Shalom, he says, that that El Melech and Machlon Kilion left, even Afilu Matzu Suvan, if they find Suvan, which is just... It's things, it's brand, right? Brand. Lo yatzu, you shouldn't leave. You shouldn't leave. There's no reason for to leave Eretz Yisrael for some parnasa reasons. So what was the reason? What were they punished for? We've seen this many places in Shas where the leaders, the tzaddikim, the gedolei dor, should have asked, davened for the generation, and they didn't. So they are now held accountable. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Bezakech yatziluch kibbutzayich." With your zakech, with your screaming, you could gather together kibbutzayich, all those from gathered around the world. You could yatzil, you could save them all. And if you just daven, but they didn't daven, and they didn't save the door like they could have and should have. Gemara now says, "Amar Rabba bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu elamos bezul perus biyukar." So it's only true that we have all these limitations when you should or where you shouldn't leave, when the money is very cheap, the currency isn't worth that much, and the fruit are very, very expensive. So that's where we say you have different calculations, whether you should go or should not go. But if the money is very valuable, and even if it goes four sa' for one sella, you would have to go. What's the explanation for this? Exactly, the money is hard to come by. So just because it's very cheap, no one has the money to buy it. So therefore, that's a good reason to leave Eretz Yisrael. Gemara now interjects a quick simon here. Simon sela poel charuva talia amrin. Damer Reb Yochanan says, Naharina, I remember kad havo kaiman arba son besela. I remember those days. I remember those days when things were so you could buy four son for one sell, with one sela to buy four sa, which is a great deal. But people still were walking on Tiberia with their stomachs sticking out because there was an indication of famine. Even though it was so cheap, people didn't have money to buy. And Amr Reb Yochanan Niharana, I remember, Kad Lohavet Miskarin, Paula Leminach, Karta Mirach Pisa. Maisim, I remember when the Miskarin, they wouldn't hire the Paulim, the workers wouldn't hire themselves out to the Midnach, which is the Mizrach Karta, to an eastern area of the city, because the smell of the bread would kill them, because they would smell it and they wouldn't have what to eat and they would die, so they would refuse to go to that part of the city. They wouldn't want to smell the bakeries. The Amr Reb Yochanan Nihira, I remember, Kad Hava Batza Yanuka Charuva, when a child would break a charuv in half, having nagid chuta de duvsha al train derai, and there would be two lines of honey that would be dripping out the sides. Vamar Belazar Niyarana, I remember, Kad Hava Natil Urva Bisra, Vinagid Chuta de Mishcha Meresh Shura Vad Laara. I remember you take a piece of meat and the fat would be oozing out from there down to the ground. Vamar Yochanan Nihirana, I remember, Kad Hava Matilan Talia of Tulisa Beshuka, Kibar Shisesre Vekvar. I remember those days where people were actually very yasher and trustworthy, where people would walk around in the shuk and there'd be 16-year-old boys and 17-year-old boys and girls, and no one would do any veiros. They'd be very yasher people. I remember those days, he says. I remember when they would say in the base medrash, the modi lahun and those who would admit to the goyim, those who would make friends with them would end up falling in their hands. Anything they would say to you, don't agree to them. Always, always reject what they say. You don't have to stay far, far away from them. And they would also say in the base medrash, the mitzrachitz lalein, delay dilun. And those who end up trusting in them and telling them, oh, I'm doing so great in business, I bought this, I bought that, then in the end of the day, yours is going to be theirs. They're going to take all your possessions away. Don't confide in them anything of yours. Just stay far away from them. Bar now goes back to the discussion of Rus. Ksiv machlon v'kilyon v'ksiv yoish v'sarif. The two different psukim tell us, one pasuk that appears in Rus, the other pasuk that appears in Divrei Yomim, gives two different names of what there was, machlon kilyon, or was it yoish v'sarif? So Rav and Shmuel had a machlokas here. Chad amar machlon v'kilyon shema. The real names are machlon and kilyon. Also, lama nikushman. Why were they called sarif yoish in Divrei Yomim? So Yoesh shenis yashu min agula. He gave up. He didn't think the gula was coming. He thought that the famine was so bad. He says, no way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is remembering us. He must have forgotten us. That's why he got the name Yoesh. He was a Messiah. And Saraf, why was he called Saraf? Shenis chayvu strefu lamakom. He was worthy of being burnt. Chanamar, the other one, between Rav and Shmuel, Yoesh v'sarf Shman. Those were their real names, as appears in Devar Yomim. So lama nikra Shman Machlon v'kilyon Machlon shasu gufan chulin. He made himself a chulin by leaving Eretz Yisrael, going to Chutz Laaretz. He made chulin. He made himself into a mundane individual. He left the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And kilyon was the other name because shenischaivu klaya l'makom. He deserved being destroyed. Tanya Kamandam Ramichalyon, Machlon Vakilyon. Shimon, there is one Brisa that supports the opinion that their actual name was Machlon Vakilyon. The Tanya, the Brisa tells us, Maidich, what does the Pasuk mean when it says in Divrei Yamim, the Gemara is going to quote a Pasuk and then interpret it. Many Psukim in Divrei Yamim don't make sense unless you really do make drushas. So the Pasuk reads, V'yokim v'anshe choseva v'yoash v'sarf asher balu l'mav v'yashuvi lechem v'advarim atikim. So what does this pasuk mean? So the pasuk when it says v'yokim zeh Yeshua shehikim shvul anshe Givon, it was him. He established that there should be a shvul with the Givon. They made him believe they weren't from the Shiva Amimim, but in fact they were. He made a shvul that he wouldn't kill them. So that was a shvul. He really held on to that shvul. Now this pasuk is referring to the people of Yehuda, Sheva Yehuda. So we know Yeshua came from Binyamin, he didn't come from Yehuda. So Rashbam suggests, he says, Shema, maybe Yehoshua's mother was from Yehuda. That's why he's being referenced in this pasuk. So then the Gemara says, what does it mean, Va'anshe ko zeva? Elu anshe givon shekazu be Yeshua. These were the givonim who tricked Yeshua. Kazu means to be tricked and to be wrong. So that refers to them. The Yoash v'saraf. Elu Machlon v'Kilyon, v'lama nikra Shman v'Yoash v'Saraf. So we see that their name was really Machlon and Kilyon. Why were they nicknamed Yoash v'Saraf? Yoash shenisyashu min agula, Saraf shenischayv yutsreifa l'makom. So that supports that opinion that the actual names are Machlon v'Kilyon. Finishing off the drush of the pasuk, so it says Asher balu l'moav. What does that mean? Asher shenasu nashim moavios, that Machlon v'Kilyon married girls from Moav. The Yoshvei lechem zurus haMoaviyah sheshava v'nidbaka. That's where she lived. V'advar matikim, the words already old. Dvar halalu, these words. Atik yomin amin. Atik yomin is a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And those who learn Kabbalah, it's a reference to a certain partufin, and we don't find that very often in Daf Yomi. But Atik yomin is a very important word, but very simply speaking, it's referring to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amrin d'chsiv matzasi David avdi v'chsiv shtei b'nosecha hanim tzaos. Okay, these are already old words. Rashi explains, Rashbam says, where's the words here? Top line, top left. Dvarm halalu, these words. Shiyatsu machlon v'kilyon l'chutz l'aretz v'aydei kach baser rus v'nasus l'boaz v'nodu malki beis David. This whole concept that they were the patriarchs of David, that's already, we have base sources from way back when, which the pasuk ends up quoting. Matasi David avdi uksiv shtei b'nosecha hanimtzos. Okay. Gemara now says, Hema hayotzim v'yoshrei netayim v'gadra im hamelach b'mlachto yashru sham. So this is a pasuk that appears also in this is a pasuk that is in Divrei Yamim, right? So Gemara says now, what does it mean? Hema hayotzim, they are the creators. Elu bnei Yonadav ben Rechav shenatzu shruas aviyem. They're the ones who had created the shrua of their father. So Rashbam explains here, not to, it says, Shelo lishos yayin v'lo banos batim. They took upon themselves a shvua not to drink wine, not to build houses either. You need to look at the context of these psukim to appreciate this, myself included. And Yoshrei Netayim, that they sat, what does that mean? Zeh Shlomo shedom l'netia b'malchuso. If reference to Shlomo, who was similar to a tree, a little sapling that grew, because his malchus grew and grew bigger and wider, like a tree does. And what does it mean, v'gadra? They built a fence. Zeus and Hedjin shegadru partsoseim shel Yisrael. They had fence, they closed the breaches that existed in Am Yisrael. Im ha-melech b'mlachto yashvu sham, with the king, they sat. Zu rus ha-moavia, that she sat, shirasa b'malchus Shlomo ben beno shel ben bena, that Rus lived so long, she was able to witness her great, great, great grandson, I think it was, or again, her son's son of her son's daughter, so that's like five generations she saw her, so.
Grandson of her grandson.
Right, so she was able to witness it. Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us, Vayasim kisei le'em hamelch, they placed a throne for the mother of the king as well. That mother is referring to not his actual mother, rather Bacheva, rather referring to his great, great, great grandmother, Rus Hamovia, who I'm not sure how long she lived for, but pretty long to be able to witness this. So Amar Belazar, Lima Shalmalchus, referring to the matriarch of the kingdom, not the mother of Shlomo, but the matriarch who really was the mother of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. Gemara says, Tanya Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us now. The Pasuk tells us in, this is in Bahar, V'achaltem minatul, you will eat from the grains, and Yashan from the old grains. That's what the Pasuk says, referring to the stories of Shemitah. So, below Salmaton, without Salmaton. What's Salmaton? My below Salmaton. Rav Nachman Amar, below Ritzinsa. What's Ritzinsa? So Rashbam explains it's not going to go bad. There will be no talas, there will be no worms, there will be no rotting. The food, the produce is going to stay preserved. Rav Sheshes Amar, below Shadifa. No, there's not going to be any warming. Rashbam says, Mischamemes Hatua V'enichol Lisyashin. It's where the grain stays hot and is not able to become aged. There's not going to be that disease won't affect it. So two different interpretations what Salmanton means. Tanya Kavasa Rav Sheshes and Tanya Kavasa Rav Nachman. There's a brisa that supports each of these amarim. Tanya Kavasa Rav Nachman. The pasuk says, "V'achaltem Yashin, you're going to eat it as if it's Yashin, it's old." Yachal Yeh Yisal Metapin Lechadash Mibnei Yashin Shekala. One might think, so the times of Shemitah, they're not going to be working during that year, so then they're going to be looking forward to the new grains because all the old grains are going to be done with. Tamalomer Ad Batuasa. No, don't worry about it. Hashem guarantees you, gives you a bracha, that there's going to be plenty of tefuah, that you're not going to run out of the yashem. So what do we see from here? So you see from here, there's a raya that supports, so this is for Rav Nachman, that's not going to go bad. The yashem's going to remain for a number of years without having to go bad. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Sheshes, the braisa that supports Rav Sheshes, v'achaltem min ha'tefuah yashan, yachal ye Yisrael metapin l'chadosh mipnei yashan shira. You think maybe they're going to look forward to the new grains because the old grain became bad, it stayed bad, it never aged properly. Tamalomar, ad batuasa ad shedevo tefuah me'ala. So you see from this braisa, it's talking about that it's not going to be, it's going to be bad versus good, and that's a reference to the shidafon that Rav Sheshes referenced. The Gemara concludes the last braisa before finishing the parak. Says Tanya Rabbanan v'achaltem yashan noshan. The pasuk says you eat the old. What does that mean? Melamed shekol hamiyushan mechaveru hare yafa mechaveru. The older it is, in fact, it's better that way. Vainly ela dvarim shadarchan lishanim. There's only two of things that are supposed to be aged, such as chita and yayin, says Rashbam. Yayin I'm aware of, that the aged wine is obviously better. I wasn't aware of chita, I don't know how that industry works, but that's what the Gemara tells us. But dvar mishain darchan liyashon minayin. How do I know even things that are not normally supposed to age, in the times of Shemitah, when you trust Hashem, even that will become better as it ages. Tamalomar yashon noshon mikom vakum. Everything's going to age very well, even things that normally don't age. The Yashan, the Gemara says further, V'yashan b'bnei achadash, the pasuk concludes totziu. What does that mean? Milamed shehayu otros milein yashan v'garnos milein achadash. The storage houses are going to be full of old wheat, the Yashan, and there's not going to be room for the chadash, so the chadash is going to remain by the garonos outside in the threshing fields because there's no place for it in the storage house. And v'hayu yisrael omrim heach notzi zeh b'bnei zeh. How can we get rid of the old to put in the new? The old is so good. So Amar Papa, Kol Mili Asika Malya Libar Mitamre Vishikra Farsana. And Papa tells the statement that everything ages better with the exception of three things. Three things as they age, they get worse. They are dates, beer, and small fish are worse as they get old, but everything else as they get older are in fact better. Hajnalach Hamokhesasvina. All right, Shkoyach.